Welcome back in the pocket across the pond. I thought it was a really good weekend of games, lads. All three of us here this week, back. I don't know if you caught the strays that were thrown at you right from the off last week, Sharples. Did you manage to listen to the podcast?
I did, yes. I love it. It's the tradition. Whoever's not here gets rinsed. And I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Nice. Funny that we carry on that tradition when I'm here. You think it was when I was only not here that I'd be rinsed. But yeah, I thought this was a bloody good weekend of NFL football. Mm. I don't know about you,
I think the best this year.
Good competitive games.
I think it was good. I think a lot of it was heavily weighted on those 9:30 games on Sunday. I thought that, you know, for some games in the 6 o'clock slot, as has become customary this year, started off a bit slow, but there were some great finishes to them. Some awful kicking across the board.
Kickers
again.
Need to sort it out. Like, yeah. What's happening? Really, like, are we maybe just seeing a bit of a... Because it does... I don't know whether it's the same, because obviously I don't think we've seen a life cycle of kickers yet properly in us, you know, playing fantasy football, that is, and having a real keen eye on the league. Maybe this is what happens when that life cycle is ending you up. Justin Tucker, he's not going to be at the Ravens next year. Who we're seeing miss quite a lot. Maybe we're just witnessing a bit of a end of a life cycle. We'll see a bunch of new kickers coming in the league next year or whatever. But yeah, they need to sort it out. I agree with that.
I mean, it's hard to say because like we don't have them in the main league and I really don't pay attention to them at all. But I remember at the start of the season, I swear people were bigging kickers up. I swear there was a lot of kickers that were getting 40, 50 yarders for fun. Is it not just a case of the weather's getting worse, the wind's picking up, and it's just easier to miss? I mean, I don't know.
I mean, Chris Boswell went off again.
I saw a stupid stat like he has more points than like a bunch of, you know, really relevant fantasy football pieces and stuff like Metcalf and stuff like that. And it's like, come on, mate. So you've heard it here first, Chris Boswell. Third-round pick next year, if you play with kickers. But let's get into it. I want to talk about two games involving the four front-runners in the AFC, I would say. I think that's fair to say. First and foremost, the Bills and the Chiefs. Us on the podcast, the collective fantasy football and NFL watching community asked for a saviour. And Josh Allen came and saved us all from the Chiefs going undefeated. Chiefs 21, Bills 30. Good game. I don't think it ever really felt like... it was like competitive. I feel like the Josh Allen play at the end of the game was obviously a fantastic run. But part of me just felt like the Bills were always going to win this match. I don't know. The Chiefs, 7 of the 9 wins have been by one score. So this was coming, really. Do you think, Sharples?
I mean, I suppose by law of averages, yes. But the fact is, like, the Chiefs have just been that... irresistible force this year. Like, there's been a lot of scrappy ones, and to be fair, when you really break it down, they probably could have lost 4 of them quite easily. But I think when you've got someone like Mahomes in the end, you just sort of put it down to just finding a way to win. And I was scared right from the off. Soon when they missed the conversion after the first touchdown, I thought, right, well, the Chiefs are obviously going to win by 1 point now, because that just has to happen. But no, Bills held on. I was worried that final drive again. You're thinking, oh, well, they must turn it over. The Chiefs go up and score a last-minute field goal, but Allen got it done. And, I think everyone around the league probably breathing a little sigh of relief now that the Chiefs have finally lost.
But will it be the same story when they eventually meet in the playoffs? Who's to say about that? But I don't know. I feel like I'm starting to like the makeup of this Bills team more than the Chiefs one. I don't know. I think the Rashi Rice injury really does hurt the Chiefs. He was a good player, really good outlet for him. I don't know, but the other game, the Steelers and the Ravens. Again, yeah, these four teams, I think it's fair to say they're the front runners. And the Steelers came out, played the Ravens tough, stopped them doing what they do best. And yeah, it helps when Justin Tucker missed two field goals. And the Ravens only lost by 2 points. It was 16-18. But hard fought victory, Al. In this game, I mean, is this another one? Like, could the Steelers realistically do this in the playoffs, you know?
I think they could do it in the playoffs, yeah. Feel weirdly numb to some of these results because, as you were just saying, the Bills have kind of had the Chiefs' number in the regular season. The Steelers have had Lamar Jackson's number. I think he's only played them about five times due to injuries and stuff like that. And he's only won once, so we've kind of seen this before. I don't think we're breaking much new ground here, so I'm not going to overreact and say that, you know, this means Buffalo are better than Kansas City. This means the Steelers are the kings of the AFC North. I will say it's an impressive win, especially considering the Steelers didn't score any touchdowns. But, you know, I mean, Tomlin he's got that defense going. The Jackson's kryptonite. So, yeah, I could see it happening in the playoffs. I'd probably still take Baltimore in the playoffs, though. Too many times, and again, we've been saying this way too often over the past few years, but too many times in, like, clutch situations, you've seen the ball bounce off Ravens receiver's chest. It's like, come on. Where do you want him to throw? Yeah. Where else do you want him to throw it?
I know, that is true, but yeah. I mean, Tomlin is an absolute dude, and the Steelers are winning exactly how you thought they were going to win, really. Right now, who's better out of these four teams, the Bills, the Chiefs, the Steelers, the Ravens? Because I think they're the class of the AFC. Maybe one other dark horse, which we'll talk about in a moment. But who do we realistically think out of those four can get to the Super Bowl right now?
The Chiefs. The Chiefs are the best team of those three. The Chiefs are the best team of those three. Then I would say the Bills. And then I'm going to wait until after this next week to decide the other one because I feel like those two teams are playing this week, potentially.
Okay.
The two teams I was thinking about. They are playing this week. Hint, hint. It's two brothers going against each other as head coaches.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's an amazing segue into the next game I wanted to chat about, the Bengals and the Chargers. Bengals 27, Chargers 34. This was... Justin Herbert's been trusted to put this team on his back, and it's working. This game, he was 297 for 2, 65 rushing yards as well. And he's big. He is that sort of Josh Allen size where he can just sort of run guys over if he wants to do. He isn't as brash with it as Allen is. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, they're a good team. I do like the Chargers. They're the dark horses that I was alluding to. The defense is good. You know, the sort of... top 10 in terms of, you know, fewest yards allowed. They've actually given up the fewest points in the league. They're equally strong against the pass and the run. Their offensive numbers are middle of the park at the minute, but that's because they started out quite slow. And I don't mean like losing games and stuff. I mean literally they started out playing slowly. But over the past few weeks, they've opened it up. In the last month, the Chargers are actually fourth in the whole league in points scored, and that's behind the Lions, the Eagles, and the Bills. That's it. They're the only three teams in the last month who have scored more points than the Chargers. I think a team that's as well coached as they are, as defensively sound as they are, also now to be able to put up those points and keep up, I think that's a scary prospect. Al.
Yeah, totally agree. I think the maybe you want them to have some more stars on offense when it comes like kind of later in
Quentin,
the season.
I've never heard of Quentin Johnson.
Maybe they want more stars on offense as it comes to later in the season. But yeah, unbelievably well coached. The kind of getting Herbert working now as well. Kind of, you know, really solidly grinding out games, not in a way where kind of they ever don't look in control of the game. They're not grinding out games in a way like the Vikings are, where it just looks awful and ugly. I agree.
Well, they're two teams that have sort of, they've sort of swapped trajectories, really. The Vikings came out really hot, blowing teams up, and have really slowed down, and it's so boring, and you sort of don't really understand how they're winning games. Chargers sort of similarly started out quite slow. It's quite, okay, yeah, the Chargers are going to win again, whatever, and they've slowly risen and risen to this team that looks pretty tough. The Bengals, the other side of this game, better luck next year. Hey, Sharples?
Yeah, I mean, fantasy wise, fantastic. Like, I mean, Joe Burrow, I think what, certainly three touchdowns, maybe four in this one, and then five in his previous two games or something.
Oh yeah, like, he leads the league in passing touchdowns, passing yards, completions, yeah. All that stuff. Yeah,
so it's great for fantasy, but yeah, you're right. I mean, they're just plain and simple, they've just not won enough games this year, and they've let, you know, they've let the ones that they should have won earlier on slip through the fingers. What does worry a little bit me, just going back to fantasy, I think this game in particular shows why Herbert, potentially in this team with Harbaugh as a coach, is going to have a ceiling. Like, fair play, they were up big at half time, 24-6, but that's where the points stop. And then in the second half, it was a field goal and then a late run by Dobbins, you know. Whereas, again, comparing it to Joe Burrow, who against the Browns a couple of weeks ago just kept throwing it, I think Herbert's looked better, but I think he's always going to be limited by this team that wants to run the ball primarily.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I agree with you. And I mean, on that, completely sort of on the other side of the coin, there, you had a game in which the Lions refused to stop to stop throwing the ball, and they blew the Jags out 52-6. Showed absolutely no mercy in this one. No mercy. Maybe that's, you know, in response to the previous game, and where they had a bit of a testy one against Houston, just scraped out of that one. They were like, no, we're going to put the foot down again. But yeah, I know what you mean about the Chargers, whereas they haven't shown that willingness to really pound a team into the ground yet. The Broncos did that also, though, this week against the Falcons. 6-38. Whoa. Wowee. I did briefly, I think, last week we were together on the podcast, just talk about Bo Nix and about how, you know, I thought he was a little bit raw to start the season, but you made the good point, like, no, he was ready to do that, you know, to take the reins of this team, and we're seeing it. Four touchdown passes in this game by Bo Nix.
I mean, it doesn't, when you say it as simply as this, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. But, you know, Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels played an awful lot of games in college. Anthony Richardson, Burley played in college. But what happens? Look how easy they can kind of adapt to the NFL. So, you know, you're looking at two guys in Nix and Daniels that played in, like, especially Nix, I think he played, you know, upwards of 50 games in college, an awful lot of games. Yeah. I mean, even someone like on the bench for the Falcons in this game, in Michael Penix, who's an older prospect who's played a lot of football, you know, they're coming in and they're learning it. And, you know, Nix wasn't amazing early on, but there were signs there and he's still growing. And, you know, if we need to view it in context in terms of it's only a recent phenomenon that we need these guys in the first year to come in right now and play like they are. And, you know, before last year of CJ Stroud and, you know, Dak Prescott's first year, how Bo Nix is playing at the minute would have been kind of unheard of in a first year. So, he's playing great. He's playing really good, and hopefully he'll just get better. You just don't want someone to have like the Mac Jones career where he showed a lot of promise in the rookie year, then it just went nowhere. So obviously there's being wary of that, but yeah, no, he looks really good, and I don't think Jaden Daniels is necessarily a lock anymore for offensive rookie of the year.
I agree.
Just to, off the back of that, Al, I certainly don't consider myself any kind of savant or psychic when it comes to the NFL, but I knew as soon as Mac Jones walked out on that stage on draft day that he was never going to be anything.
So, yeah, I mean, you're just talking about, I'm looking at 61 career games at college for Auburn and Oregon for Bo Nix. I mean, you know, it shows. It shows these guys have been in situations, they've played a lot of football.
Spot on. Broncos flirting with the playoffs, really. I think at this rate they'll 100% get in, which would be interesting in terms of the, obviously, the rookie of the year race, if that does happen. Because the Commanders lost a pretty underwhelming Thursday night football game against the Eagles. The Eagles are sort of soaring now, pun intended. Thanks, Shapples. We thought this was going to happen. The Commanders had a really good run, but maybe starting to catch up with them a bit. I mean, this game was boring. It was 10-6 going into the fourth quarter, and I don't mean the time, it was a lot later than that, but it ended up finishing 18-26, but Commanders slowing down a little bit. Still think they'll pick it up. They got some easy games. Cowboys coming up, and Eagles are charging to this division. In the NFC still, Seahawks stealing. Absolutely. Geno Smith, he doesn't write back, but he'll steal a win. He will steal a win with his legs, 20-17 against the 49ers. Do you see the Geno Smith winning rushing touchdown? I was buzzing when I saw that. I like Geno Smith. I root for Geno Smith. That was a nice little run there. What is going on with the 49ers, Sharples? Because Christian McCaffrey's back. I know George Kittle wasn't in this game, but Debo Samuel's still there. You know, obviously Brock Purdy's still under center. Juwan Jennings is having a nice season. Certainly shown he's capable of the workload. So what's going on?
The only thing I could possibly put it down to is just the injuries and just a lot of stop-start. Kittle's been in and out. Obviously, McCaffrey's back now, has been for a couple of weeks, but missed a lot of football. And talking about him, what was it, having arthritis in two ankles or something daft? I don't know. Clearly a serious injury. That's really the only thing I can put it down to, because it's the same group of guys, you know, same coach. Maybe just a little bit of complacency. Obviously, they were fantastic last year. Maybe just thinking they could turn up and scrape the wins. I really don't know. I would just have to put it down to having to make those constant little adjustments when Kittle's not feeling it, or you know, Debo can't suit up today. Just not really being able to get a role. And also, I think the NFC has probably been better this year than it was last year. So maybe just slightly more competition and it's caught them out.
Yeah, I agree. And like, they're in a very competitive division, as you were saying. I mean, Seahawks, Rams, 49ers, they're all 5-5. That could go either way, really. The crucial part of that is, though, the 49ers are 1-3 in division, which might be the killer. But yeah, still sort of all to play for though, with the Cardinals only being one game up. It's going to be interesting. As we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, the Seahawks, they were in the middle of this sort of gauntlet of divisional games. But listen, did all right there. They're coming up against the Rams this following week. Is it the Rams or the Cardinals? One of the two. They've got another divisional game coming up. We'll see if they can get out of that. You know, it's all to play for. Still in the NFC, the Saints, the best team in the league again. Mm-hmm. Hate to say it, but they are the best team in the league again. Who knew getting rid of your awful head coach would mean that you were a better team? They thrashed the Browns, two wins in a row. Cool. And then it's quiet week in Texas, really. One of those rare occasions in the NFL season where no games were played in Texas. Can you believe that? This weekend. Let's get into our categories, though. Impressive victory, Al.
Got to go. Oh, there's quite a few impressive victories, I would say, this week. I think I'm going to go the Lions, though. I expect them, and I'm willing them to do the same thing this week against the Colts.
Yes. Sharples?
Yeah, I mean, Lions obviously absolutely thrashed them, but the Jaguars are terrible. So I'm going to go for the Bills just because slaying the undefeated Chiefs.
Yeah, for an interest, I'm going to go with the Chargers. Purely because I hoped you two would go for both of them and I could say something different. Just because, yeah, I mean, it was the most points they've conceded all season, but it was also the most points they've scored. Just, yeah, showing they can also win the shootouts, the high-scoring ones. Not buying it when I feel like this is going to be similar. Sharples, we'll start with you.
Saints.
Saints? Okay, maybe not. So they're not the best team in the league yet?
Not just yet. One more week and they will be.
Bye week and then, yeah.
I'm going to go Packers because I'm not liking how they're winning games at the minute. You know, I mean, if there's one thing that you can bet your house on, don't bet your house. If there's one thing that you can bet your house on every week, it's that David Montgomery's going to score a touchdown. If there's another thing that you can bet your house on every week, it's that Jordan Love's going to throw an interception. It's ridiculous at the moment, like just the kind of interception streak he's on. Actually, speaking of streaks, I probably should have said Amon-Ra St. Brown there instead of David Montgomery, because did you realise St. Brown has scored a touchdown in all of his last 8 games?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which, I mean, I've got him on my team in our main league, and you'd kind of expect him to have been on a bit more of a tear than he's been. This was really the first week where he kind of took the lid off. I was surprised when the commentators read that stat out at the weekend. Anyway, I'm going Packers because, yeah, I don't like how they're winning games at the minute. I realise that sounds stupid, but this is not buying it win, and I don't like how they're winning at the minute.
Yeah. I went for the Vikings, same as last week, just because, yeah, it's regressed a bit, really. They're not really winning games as convincingly as they have been. Like, tell me with a straight face that this Vikings team would beat the Lions or the Eagles. You know, I just don't think they...
Lou, I couldn't see a world where that would happen.
Good. and the worst team in the league? Sharples.
I was going to say the Jaguars, but seeing as you swept it under the rug, it is actually the Cowboys.
Al?
G-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
Did you say G-E-T-S?
You did.
Gets.
G-E-T-S.
Gets. The Gets. J-E-T-S.
Yeah.
I was too excited.
It's really fun that clearly the two worst teams in the league right now, in terms of this is, you know, you're building in expectation here as well. It's the Cowboys and the Jets, which are the two teams that are represented by this podcast in the fandom. But I also went with the Cowboys, but prefaced at home in brackets, because in the last 3 games, the Cowboys have been beaten / outscored 115-25 at home. Which is has to be some sort of historically bad metric, surely. Surely.
I mean, even the stadium can't bear to watch it anymore.
Yeah, the stadium's fallen apart. let's get on to some of the best players of the week, though. If I said to you, whoa, Hill scored 41 points, you would probably say, Tyreek Hill's back, get in. And you'll be a fool. A darn fool. Because it's Taysom Hill.
I enjoyed this. I had front row seats to to someone who had Taysom Hill in the lineup all week until Friday and pivoted to Mark Andrews, which was our brother Adam, and it was amazing. He was losing his mind. And at the end of the game, because I think he tried to block some of Taysom Hill's points and plays out of his mind, he said, right, what did he finish on? I said, guess. He said, 26. I said, not even close, mate.
Do you want me to just read you his stats?
I don't want to hear it, but you can go ahead.
It's quite insane reading. So he had 18 passing yards, one interception thrown. He had 138 rushing yards, three rushing touchdowns, 50 receiving yards, eight receptions, and also a fumble as well. So he scored four less fantasy points than he could have done. This is fair enough. I guess you're going to get these games from Taysom Hill, but I don't know who that helped. Really? Realistically? I mean, I know he's your king, Sharples, your spiritual king, Taysom Hill.
I'm just saying, like, all the times when I pick him and I say he's got a great smile, like, a lovely face, you guys just think, it counts for something, all right? Those things count for something.
It does. In real fantasy football, Amon-Ra St. Brown, 11 receptions, 161 yards, two touchdowns, which, yeah, he had no right to get half of those. Really, like the game was over. But fair enough, St. Brown coming good. He does usually come good towards the back end of the season. I know he did it in his rookie year, but yeah, having a nice stretch from St. Brown here. Joe Mixon, still at it, helps when you're against the Cowboys. 153 total yards, three touchdowns. Come on. Give him someone else.
I had him last year, and I was convinced he was done because the amount of times I saw him get the ball on the 2-3 yard line and just not get it in the red zone. I thought his legs had gone, but they certainly proved me wrong.
Yeah. Jared Goff, 412 yards, four touchdowns. He's putting the league on notice. I mean, I'll get into this in my projection beaters later on, spoilers, but Jared Goff's coming for that MVP.
Well, I mean, he didn't want to put the league on notice last week when he was my projection beater, and he scored
five interceptions.
Yeah, he didn't want to put the league on notice then, did he?
No, he did. He did, but for very different reasons. Saquon Barkley.
I like that, though. Do you not like that? Would you not prefer that if like a quarterback? I'm going to pitch a new idea to you. It's like Russian roulette. So you know that 75% of a quarterback's interceptions for the entire year are going to come in 1 week, but you don't know what week that's going to be. Are you taking that over? Let's say Goff's throwing the five interceptions, but he only throws another two or three all season long. So you get that from a quarterback every year, but you never know what week it's going to be. Would you rather have that or the interceptions spread out across the year?
I'd take it 100%. Like, but you're going to lose games in fantasy football.
But what if it's the fantasy playoffs?
Oh,
I know, yeah, exactly. Because then you get into the fantasy playoffs and he's still not had the five interception week.
Profusely.
I mean, I've not got the bottle. In that case, I would bench him. But for the first 14 games, he'd be there every week.
Yeah. I like that though. Yeah, just get most of your interceptions out of your system in one game and then, yeah.
That's it. And still win that game somehow, which is mental. Saquon Barkley, 198 total yards, two touchdowns. Saquon Barkley's on pace for 2,298 yards from scrimmage, which would rank 11 most all time in a single season.
Is that rushing and receiving?
Yeah. Which is crazy. Would be the most, obviously, since 2019, Christian McCaffrey, and then after that, the most since, like, 2010 or something. He's on for a really, incredible season. Speaking of as well, Brock Bowers, 13 receptions, 126 yards and a touchdown, first tight end in league history, first rookie tight end, I should say, in league history to reach over 700 yards in 10 games. I mean, he's everything he was sold to be, really, isn't he? Bowers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looks fantastic.
I think certainly celebrations helped out as
well. What?
I was going to say, helped out as well by Adams leaving. I think that's when he really...
Big time.
He'd had good weeks before then, but at this point, it's like, we have nothing. Let's just get the ball to Bowers as much as possible.
Yeah, yeah. Celebrations aren't as cool, but yeah. Breece Hall, 121 total yards, 2 total touchdowns. Finally, we've seen a nice big game from Breece Hall. Too bad it was in a loss to the Colts, which is insanely embarrassing. I can't believe we didn't get into that, but that was one of the more irrelevant games on the week. T. Higgins outscored Jamar Chase in this one with one less touchdown. 9 receptions, 148 yards, and a touchdown. Listen, this is a fun one. He's wide receiver 31 on the year because he's missed 5 games. Do you know where T. Higgins is in terms of points per game? What position he is in the wide receivers? Just in terms of points per game, minimum 6 games played.
Al, he was on your team for the bulk of the year. I'll defer to you on this one.
I think he is averaging about 16, 17 points a game. I think wide receiver scoring in general is a little bit down this year, so that would probably place him at like 9.
Chapels, do you want to hazard?
12.
6.
Wow.
He's a wide receiver 6 in points per game. So this is what makes teams so frustrating. Hold that thought. I'll pull it up now. I didn't write it down. But yeah, this is what makes Teagan so frustrating, because beyond the injuries, beyond all the... He's a mint player. And he's really good for fantasy football. Like, yeah, he's the wide receiver 6 in points per game. So, I mean, he's averaging 18.5. Which is really good stuff. Joe Burrow returns to this segment again every single week at this rate. 356 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, leads the league in all the relevant passing metrics. Bo Nix, we alluded to, 307 yards, 4 touchdowns. Looking really nice, really good. I mean, Denver, a lot of reasons to be happy over there, I think. Cooper Kupp, really nice game.
The Cup one's good because you can always tell on Red Zone when you're cutting back to real live football or when there's a huge play about to happen. And when a huge play is about to happen, Scott Hansen will say something. Take you back over to the Rams game now. This is the second play of the half. And he said that, and I said to our Adam, this sounds like it's going to be a huge touchdown to someone. And then, yeah, Cooper Kupp, massive one.
Yeah, yeah. 6 for 106 and 2. Jonnu Smith. You know when we were complaining that Tua wasn't earning it out and getting it to his wide receivers and stuff like that? Well, he sort of half heard us, because Jonnu Smith went off for a pretty massive game. Why couldn't this be Waddle or Hill? I don't know. Anthony Richardson had a nice fantasy game. Just put Anthony Richardson, 272 yards and a touchdown, and 32 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns. That's what you want from Richardson. You're just not going to get it. You know, you're going to get it 1 in 5 games or something like that. But Matt Stafford, nice game, 4 touchdowns. Chase, Judy, Nakua, Jennings, all with really nice games. Most of those guys over 100 yards as well. Underwhelming performances, though. Kyren Williams, third underwhelming game in a row. Now, let me just run this one by, because I thought this was pretty silly until I looked into the numbers. In a league that I'm in, I saw someone straight trade Kyren Williams for Chase Brown, which I'm like, what is going on there? But if you look at the numbers, yeah, Chase Brown has been fantastic for the last month. Kyren Williams, Karen, as he's known on this podcast, not so much, really. I think he's probably going to come good, but yeah, pretty underwhelming stuff at the minute.
And, I would trade Chase Brown for Kyron Williams if I had Chase Brown right now.
The only thing that's worrying me is that there is a direct correlation between Kyron Williams' downtick in fantasy production and the return of Cup and Nacua. Maybe I'm imagining this, but I also think Kyron Williams, when he was blowing up last year, that's when Cup wasn't there. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe there's something to read into there. Jonathan Taylor's been pretty boom-bust this year. He's sort of jumping back and forward between our segments here every week, it feels like. Kareem Hunt finally had a crap game. Good. Travis Kelce as well. Deebo Samuel, Aaron Jones, Garrett Wilson, Nick Chubb. I think this is it. I'm really sorry. I think Nick Chubb, we've mm-hmm. seen yeah. all that we're going to see from Nick Chubb. DeAndre Hopkins, the dream of wide receiver one for the Chiefs, is over. why are you laughing, Sharples?
No, it was just obviously that stat line the previous game when you just thought, oh God, like no. Yeah. I like Hopkins, yeah. nothing against him, but I just thought, oh yeah. God, because I'm pretty sure when the trade got announced, I said like he'll have one really good playoff game and that'll be it. So when that happened, I thought, oh, here we go, and it was like a complete mug. I think it'll probably balance out a little bit. I don't think it'll be that terrible every week, but it was quite nice to see actually.
Yeah. Yeah. McLaurin as well, he's been a bit disappointing in games. The obviously Daniels hasn't been good in either, so. And then Tucker Kraft, Goose, thank you very much for that. That was lovely to have on several of my fantasy teams. Thank you very much. News and injuries though. Not too many injuries this week. It's been alright really. Darnell Mooney exited the Falcons game of a hamstring injury. They're on bye this week, so might not hear much about that until next week. You also had Jordan Addison, who was forced out of the did I say the Vikings or the Falcons just then? I meant the Falcons if I did say the Vikings, and I meant the Vikings when I'm talking about this guy, Jordan Addison. He was experiencing cramping. So he had to exit that game. Jordan Addison's been an all right piece, so just keep your eye on that one. Keep your eye on the practice reports. Jake Ferguson for the Dallas Cowboys, who didn't play this week, but he still got injured somehow. he's going through concussion protocol. Probably not going to play this week, but then again, you're probably not going to be playing him for the rest of the season. And then this might not sound that relevant, but Alexander Mattison has been semi-usable for the Raiders. But he was forced out of his game with an ankle injury. So there's apart from Bowers, there's no one on that Raiders team that you want, really. And a bit of news. Daniel Jones, say goodbye to New York City. He's been benched for Tommy DeVito. Crucial that every single news outlet pointed out, yes, we know Drew Locke is on this team, but Tommy DeVito is starting because the Giants want to lose.
Yeah.
That's why. That's why Drew Locke isn't starting.
Yeah.
I think all the pundits saying that are giving a lot of credit to Drew Locke that he hasn't necessarily earned.
Yeah.
Like, who says Drew Locke's going to win?
And they're all saying, Lou, they're all saying that that this is a move to get the fans back in the stadium. And yeah, I mean, what other attractions are there to see in New York other than Tommy Cutlets throwing the ball?
Yeah, I mean, Daniel Jones, he's done in New York. This is him. I mean, he is quite lucky that, you know, I can think of, you know, a couple of contracts right now that are maybe worse than his. One definitely worse than his. So he is quite lucky with his contract that it might not go down that badly because of some other quarterbacks. But it is an awful contract that they gave to the guy who didn't really show anything, still hasn't shown anything. I'd even argue, people are like, the annoying thing about Daniel Jones is that he's shown flashes and when it's worked, it's... No, I don't think Daniel Jones has ever looked good, personally.
Apart from that one week with the beard when he was Dan Jones, that's it.
When he was Dan... No, exactly, don't hear what I'm not saying. Dan Jones has been great. Dan Jones has been great. Daniel Jones is going to be bench warming journeyman quarterback.
I was getting Chet Johnson vibes from Dan Jones.
Yeah, but Chet Johnson's real. And a good player. I mean, you could make the argument that Daniel Jones has. I mean, he's finessed the Giants in the league because there's plenty of quarterbacks in this league who haven't had the opportunity and the time that he's had as the starting quarterback on a team, really. So, fair play, Dan Jones, for the finesse. Get that bag, mate. But see you later. And the Jets have fired the general manager, Joe Douglas. Sharple's wincing.
No, well, obviously that was the problem this whole time, and now we're going to win every game for the rest of the season. Though
The problem was the guy that drafted all of those young, exciting players, two of which won Offensive Rookie of the Year, Rookie of the Year, both offensive and defensive, just 2 years ago, less than 2 years ago, and they kind of had a good draft with the offensive lineman this year as well. But the guy who brought in all those players is the problem.
I can't think of anyone else on the team. We got rid of the coach. He was the problem, and then the GM was the problem. Maybe the owner should go next. The fans, Breece Hall.
They need their own stadium as well. They need a bit of breathing room.
Yeah, of course.
That'll help.
Yeah, of course. It's hilarious, actually, this, because it's just an example of they almost look like the a semblance of a, you know, an all right. Like, you remember the early days of Salah? They had all these young guys and they were playing teams hard and they're like, oh, just that one more thing that we need, and they thought it was Aaron Rodgers. I don't know what else to say about that. We're going to speak about the Jets in a second, though, because I want to do a little segment before we get into accountability. Al, I want to do a little segment with the two of you. I tried coming up with a fun title for this. I can't. So the title is pretty explanatory. New coach, new QB, new QB, or both. I'm going to give you, there's 5 teams here, and I want you to say a brief explanation of if they need a new coach, if they need a new quarterback, or both. Cleveland Browns. Sharples, you go on. Kick us off.
Hard this one, because obviously Watson towers over everything. I'm going to say just a QB on this one. I think when a team's doing terribly, it's easy to say everyone. But yeah, Deshaun Watson's just awful. Just casting a complete shadow over everything. The horrible contract, which I think might just have been the contract you were alluding to that's worse than Jones, Lou. For me on that one, it's entirely quarterback. Because it's hard to remember, but I'm pretty sure the Cleveland Browns have shown flashes before sort of Watson came back where they looked pretty good. And I'm fairly certain I remember them talking about him as a sort of, you know, coach of the year discussion in terms of making the best of a poor situation. So, get Deshaun Watson out of there and then let's see, I think.
Yeah, I'll agree.
I know it sounds stupid seeing as Stefanski did win Coach of the Year last year, but I'm going to say both.
There you go.
Both.
I'm going to say both. I don't know whether this kind of regime at the Browns has like ran its course now and we've tried it and there's been too many iterations of it now and the quarterback, and I don't know whether it's, you kind of like clean slate it.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough. The Giants. Al, I'll let you start on this
both.
One. New coach, new QB, or both?
Both. Because it's not like the offense is creative anyway. I don't know if you saw any of the off-season Hard Knocks.
Oh my God,
but
yeah.
God, Brian Daboll is not a likable guy. It's like, get your feet off the table and be a bit professional. I don't know, when you're interviewing a rookie like prospect or something, mate, what are you doing? Just seemed like a guy that got told he could swear on TV and he got really excited. Yeah, both.
Yeah, Chapels.
Yeah, I'd say both as well. I was watching, I think it was Rich Eisen, and he was talking about how the owners and the ownership group absolutely love Daboll. I don't get it. I don't see what he's brought to that team at all, really. And you're right, he does need to take his feet off the table now.
Yeah. I think the next one's interesting because you could, all three of these, you could have a strong argument for all of them and also none of them. The Jaguars, Sharples. You know what I mean? Like, it's tough.
I think you have to run this back for one more year with both of them. I mean, you can't get
like, so like you don't get it's like nothing.
You absolutely can't move on from Trevor Lawrence. You know, he's the number one pick for years. Yeah. Ago. He's got an absolutely fat contract, and has shown tiny flashes. I mean, he's certainly not the Jesus Christ that he was drafted to be, but you still feel like him against some other quarterback. I mean, like Daniel Jones has got no hope, but Trevor Lawrence just might. He just might, and with the financial capital. And I still think Doug Peterson's a really good coach. It's been a terrible year. I just can't rule him out. I can't rule out Doug Peterson. I want to see it again one more year.
Yeah, Al, what do you reckon?
I'm gonna say run it back. Even though weirdly, this is the coach that I'd be least surprised if he got fired.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny that, because out of the three teams that we've said, Peterson's the one who I agree would be, if he's fired tomorrow, I'd be like, okay, fair, but also like, maybe run it, but it's just a difficult one, really. And with Lawrence, I think there's probably equal chances next year, this time next year, there's equal chances that we're either saying, he's come good, this and the other, or he's crap. He's done.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's a difficult one. I left the two most emotionally charged ones to last. The New York Jets, Alex Sharples. New coach is pretty self-explanatory. So I guess I'm asking you, should the New York Jets have Aaron Rodgers next year?
I mean, realistically, right? If they move on from him, I don't see them drafting a quarterback in this year's draft that will come in and make an instant impact, because I don't, you know, they're not going to have like the number one overall pick. I don't know as much about the college game as Al. I don't know what the draft class is like this year, but I have to believe for my own sanity that Rodgers can come back next year and it can be an improvement. I have to believe that, or else I would hurl myself out of this window that's next to me.
Al, I mean, what do you think?
I mean, yeah, I don't know if the Jets are going to pick high enough, because, I mean, Shedeur Sanders is probably a lock to be the first quarterback off the board, and I think the Raiders are eyeing him up. They might have to lose a few more games or trade up for the pick. You've got some really good ones, like off the top of my head, Cam Ward from Miami and Jalen Milroe of Alabama. So there are some really good quarterbacks coming out this year. I don't know how instant their impact would potentially be, though. I'm definitely missing a few there as well. But Shadow's probably the one who's going to be going off the board first. And he's the type of guy that would say, I'm not playing for this team as well. So, yeah, I don't think Rodgers is going to be there. I think he's going to retire.
I certainly hope he does, because that would mean my bold prediction at the start of the season will be correct. You know what I think is going to happen? Time is a flat circle, lads. Time is a flat circle. Everything that has happened will happen again and all that stuff. And next year, Sam Darnold will be the starting quarterback of the New York Jets. and last but not least, the Dallas Cowboys. Al.
New coach?
Yeah. Shepples.
I'd run it back. I think they're rolling.
What are you on about?
Serious for a sec.
I'm having a great time. So, yeah, no, they should definitely both run it back. Simon, Dak's a winner. Dak's a real winner. I think you can really win football games. Not just football games, playoff games with him. Yeah, I think they should both come back next 10 years. You've got real franchise cornerstones. You've got to lock them up.
Great. Nice one for that. Nice. I think I'll put my two cents in here, because as a Cowboys fan as well, I think I think you're tied to Dak Prescott with the contract, obviously. I do think Dak Prescott has shown that he can be an elite quarterback in the league. I don't really ever buy all these things that are like, yeah, but he's not a quarterback that can win a Super Bowl. Well, you will say that until he wins one. Like, you can say that about anyone until they win one. Like, you never know. But I think Mike McCarthy is done. I think we've seen the best days of Mike McCarthy. We've not only have we seen him be good with a bit more sort of commanding coordinators. When last season, when he did take over play calling, we saw him be good again, and they still couldn't do it. And this life cycle has ended, really. I think it's new coach and new running back, hopefully, and new for defensive coordinator. Ooh, yeah. As well, please.
If we get Ashton Jeanty next year, wowzers.
Ashton Jeanty.
Remember that name.
I do take your point about, you can say that about anyone, Lee. Like, you know, I've not won a Super Bowl, I'm probably not going to, but I've also not been at the helm of multiple 14 plus wins teams and then got bounced in the first round of the playoffs.
That's a shame. He's got you there.
That is a shame. All I'm saying is, like, who I'm sure your Colin Cowards of the day would have said Joe Flacco would never win a Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
I think, to be fair, I think the actual answer to this one is thinking slightly outside the box. Unfortunately, it doesn't fit with your new quarterback, new coach, but
new owner.
That might solve a lot.
Yeah,
for both the Cowboys and the Jets.
Yeah.
Shout. Nice, Al. But we love to be accountable on this podcast, don't we?
We do. It was up and down week. I had a couple of misses, Chubb and Collins. Kincaid was injured, so he didn't play. Tua was a hit at the quarterback for me with 23 points. Lou, you had Will Disley at tight end, who was a hit with 18. Jacobs was a hit, 23, at the running back. Sutton just hit his projection. Stroud was a miss, though. Sharples, we nearly had it. We had Goff, 34 points hit. Puka, 25 points hit. Eckler, 17 points hit. Tucker, Kraft, Goose.
And that was going so well. Sharples, I hope you listened to all of last week, because we did discuss a new rule, didn't we, Al? Whereas if you had a Goose, all of your hits that week didn't count.
Oh,
yeah.
Must have turned off we just did. Before that.
Yeah.
Three hits and a Goose, though. That's got to be a first.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. That's
breaking
nice,
ground,
to be fair. That's
ground,
nice. That's
every
nice.
Episode on this podcast.
And, you know, for the sheer fact that we have, you know, we have to include tight ends in this, in our game here, a goose is possible every single week.
Mm.
Yeah.
Every exactly. single week. But let's look ahead to week 12. Week 12 in the National Football League. It's coming round. Say this every single week, but it's coming. It's going to be over soon. Going to be over soon. Al, we'll start like we always like to. Is he with you?
Yes, I've got him here.
Forget about it.
So it's the forget about it section of the show. People who are locked into your lineup, no matter what. Don't be confused, by the way, lads. Thanksgiving week next week, not this week. I got excited then, thought there was some football to watch tomorrow night, but it's next week. Just the standard amount of games this week in week 12. So players who are locked into your lineup, no matter what, forget about it. Just put them in the quarterback position. Got Lamar Jackson, Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts.
Forget about it.
Running back, McCaffrey, Mixon, Barkley, Henry, Gibbs, Walker.
Forget about it.
Wide receiver, Jefferson, St. Brown, C.D. Lamb, A.J. Brown, Mike Evans, Malik Nevers, Puka Nacua.
Forget about it.
Tight end, Travis Kelce, Brock Bowers, Trey McBride, George Kittle.
Forget about it.
Thanks, mate. Yeah.
I feel like tight ends are doing the best to get back on your side, Al. I remember the historic day a few months ago when there was none in the forget about it. And they're doing the best to win you back. That's a healthy amount of tight ends.
Well, Kelce didn't this past week, but I have faith still.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of, let's get into our projection beaters. Guys who we think are going to outscore their ESPN projection by 4 or more points. Let's start with tight ends while we're there, and we'll start with Alex Sharples.
Tight end. I'm going for Dallas Goedert, tight end of the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know. I wasn't really feeling anyone too strongly. So I thought I'd go for a one sort of mid projection. He's projected 8.8 points. Couple of good games, although against Dallas he was fortunate to grab himself a touchdown, which made him relevant. Last week against Washington, 5 targets, got him 5 receptions for 61 yards. He's not going to have those sort of like week 3, for example, when AJ Brown and Devontae Smith were both out and he got 170 yards. Not going to do that anymore. But hopefully a safe pair of hands. Rams, middle to back end against fantasy tight ends. They've given up the 6 most points fantasy tight ends so far. So, yeah, I don't want to get too excited about him, but hopefully not going to be a bust for me. So Dallas Goedert against the Rams.
Nice, nice. Al?
Yeah, I've gone for Zach Ertz, projected 10.1 versus the Dallas Cowboys. He's a tight end 7 on the season. He's had 15 targets over the past 2 games, and Dallas are pretty terrible.
Full stop.
That's it.
Nice. I'm going triple D this week, double dip Disley. Picked him last week. He was the hit. I'm going to go for it again this week. Projected 9.8. Listen, 6 targets once again last week. Very productive with those targets. 4 for 80 and 1 this week. Chargers are against the Ravens. Ravens are giving up borderline, like historically bad numbers through the air this year. So I can see the Chargers leaning on that side of the game. Ravens are also giving up almost 14 points a game to the tight end position. Disley remained the number 2 option in the passing game last week, and I don't see a reason why that's going to change in a game that the Chargers are probably going to be throwing it again. So, Will Disley for me. We'll go backwards this week. We'll go wide receiver, Sharples.
Wide receiver, for all the reasons you just mentioned, Lou, I'm going for Ladd McConkey.
Nice.
The Chargers. Yeah, I mean, stopping the run game, the Ravens have been fantastic at, which would be interesting seeing as obviously the Chargers are very run heavy, but they are dead last in fantasy points given up to wide receivers. McConkey projected 13.6 points. Again, I think a relatively low projection considering that he is the focal point of that receiving core. Big game last week against Cincinnati, 123 yards, 6 receptions. I mean, if he gets a touchdown on that, then you're talking about one of the highest scoring wide receivers. I think they're going to be throwing the ball plenty in this game against the Ravens. Ravens have been very accepting of that. So yeah, I think 13.6. We can get at that. We can get at that.
Nice. I like that. I do like that as well, Sharples. Al.
I've gone Rome Odunze, projected 10.5. Against Minnesota, so you can run the ball against Minnesota, but you can throw on them. They're ranked 19th against fantasy wide receivers. Odunze had 10 targets this past week in a bit of a new-look offense under the new offensive coordinator, so I'm hoping and gambling on this being the new norm, becoming a bit of a trend here with Chicago. I actually think the Bears could win this game as well. As I mentioned before, I've not been impressed by Minnesota recently. So, yeah, let's go for Odunze to kind of rack up some more targets this week and hopefully get above that pretty average projection.
Nice. I'm going to go for Calvin Ridley, projected 11.8. Titans are bad. Both of the quarterbacks are bad. I mean, Levis had his highest yardage of the season last week against Minnesota, but that was incredibly bolstered by the 90-plus yard touchdown by Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. The reason I think Ridley's going to be a decent start is the usage and the matchup. Since the Titans' bye week, Ridley hasn't seen fewer than 6 targets. He's clearly the go-to receiver. That's obvious. Like, who else would it be apart from Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, apparently? But, I mean, his fantasy performances have been relatively touchdown-dependent, but that's where the matchup comes in this week. Tennessee are facing Houston. Houston are giving up on average 2 passing touchdowns per game on the season. So that's almost most in the league. Like, I think there's only one team that averages more than that. So perfect for a guy who is dependent on scoring a touchdown. Calvin Ridley touchdown guarantee, you've heard it here, right now first. Yeah, lock that in. The Texans also just gave up 354 passing yards to Cooper Rush. So Levis might have some room here to launch the ball like he likes to. I think that the paths are there for Ridley to have a decent game, whether it's competitive or complete garbage time. So beatable secondary, going to get targeted. That's literally bread and butter for picking a wide receiver in this segment. So Calvin Ridley for me. Running back, Sharples.
Going for David Montgomery. Running back for the Detroit Lions, who is projected rather rotund 16 points. But I mean,
not like been... you.
No, I know. Notoriously stingy man. Jahmyr Gibbs projected 17.1 next to him. Obviously, that, you know, that's the danger. Who's going to get given the ball? But the Lions are on such a hot streak right now. They don't care. They're rolling over everyone. They're going to put up probably 5 plus touchdowns. If Montgomery gets one of them, then, you know, you're pretty much safe from him being a bust. Coming up against the Colts, middle to back end against the run. And it's really just more about the Lions as a whole. Lions offense as a whole, I think they're going to be in the red zone a lot. Once they start getting into, you know, 10, 5 yards, that's Montgomery's time to shine. I think he's going to get multiple goes of it in the end zone. And, yeah, really, really this year with Montgomery, like, when he's got himself a touchdown, he's been a hit. So hopefully he can do it against the Colts this week. So yeah, Monty, 16.
Nice. Al?
Well, I see your 16, Sharples, and I raise you 16.1.
What?
I'm going Brian Robinson Jr. 16.1 projection against Dallas. Yeah, crazy stuff. But I mean, it's a big game for this team. They're on that 2-game losing streak, the Commanders, and they will fancy themselves in this game. I've got a couple of pieces here for the Commanders against my Dallas Cowboys. Robinson came back from injury last week to 16 carries and a reception. That was pretty much what he was averaging throughout the season before the injury. And Dallas are giving up 25 points to fantasy running backs. I like him to score a touchdown in this one. So Brian Robinson Jr.
Very nice. I'm going with Rashad White, projected 13.9. Sharples making a quite impressed face there. I know Sharples loves him some Rashad White. Maybe you're ahead of the curve, Sharples, because I do love Rashad White rest of season, actually. I mean, listen, since coming back from his little foot injury that he missed a game with in week 6, he's been sort of back to vintage white form, which vintage being last year. But since then, he's the so since week six, he's the running back seven, averaging 19 fantasy points a game, which is excellent. Excellent stuff. Exactly what you drafted Rashad White to be. Red hot coming off that bye week, and I think he'll stay red hot this week against the tanking New York Giants, who are, in the last four games, have given up massive performances to running backs, including Chuba Hubbard, Austin Eckler, Najee Harris, Saquon Barkley, all in the last 4 weeks. So, yeah, White, we did a bit of a trade for section last week where me and Al just picked a player who we were looking at trading for. Rashad White was almost that guy for me, you know, with Godwin being out as well. I think he continues this hot streak this game and into the rest of the regular season. Sherples, you many faces you were making then.
I'm just wondering though, obviously, you know, there was a trade in our league recently that you were a part of. Would you have accepted a straight swap Rashad White for J.K. Dobbins?
Probably, but that can't happen anymore, can it?
Interesting, because I was going to offer you Rashad White and Roma Dunes there for him, so.
No, you weren't.
I was thinking about it, yeah.
No. Gonna cut this bit out, maybe. Why would you say that live on podcast? Let's go to quarterback, Sharples.
I'm sorry, Luke. I'm sorry. I wouldn't really. I'd never trade with you. You know.
You wouldn't after you just heard me bigging up Rashad White then and telling you why he's going to be excellent the rest of the season.
And it was when you cried a little bit, it made me feel sad. So obviously gone for the big projection with Montgomery, so I had to temper that a little bit. Justin Fields projected 0.6 points against the Cleveland Browns. I'm not picking him. That would be ridiculous. Although, to be fair, if he comes on and scores a rushing touchdown, he is a hit, and he could very well do that. I mean, Taysom Hill got three against the Browns, so you never know. But I have tried to play it safe with the score, not necessarily the player, because now that I see it in front of me, boys, I really don't want to say it. Really don't want to say it.
This is more ridiculous than what you just said.
Yeah, I think you're right. I would pivot, but we know what happens when I pivot, so I'm going to have to stick with it. Will Levis of Tennessee Titans.
God.
I mean, Lou, you both simultaneously gave me confidence and also threw salt in my eyes when you were talking about what Calvin Ridley might do. Basically, all the good things you said, but ignoring all the bad things.
Ignoring the bad thing that I said. I think the main bad thing that I said was that Will Levis is garbage and this team is bad.
Yeah, basically. So ignoring that, I think Will Levis is probably the best young quarterback in the league. No, I mean, it's a low projection. He's projected 11.6. Like you said, Lou, Houston have given up a fair amount of touchdowns. If he gets the magic two that you said with a couple of hundred yards and doesn't throw himself a pick, that's a nice juicy hit. And sometimes
this is the dark arts again.
The dark arts. Look, I didn't. There's a lot of high projections this week. I didn't fancy it, so I went back to my miserly self and Will Levis. Let's go.
Yeah. Go on, Al.
I've got a little lesser-known quarterback by the name of Patrick Mahomes. Projected 17.2 at Carolina. Mahomes, he's got 7 touchdown passes in his past 3 games. Feels like a no-brainer, this one, as well. I mean, I think the Chiefs are going to make a bit of a concerted effort to get the offense going in this, but I mean, they're going to put up some... Are they not going to put up so many points this week against Carolina? Like, I've got Mahomes playing against the Panthers with a 17-point projection. Are you kidding me? I don't know what else to say. This has to work, and if it doesn't, I'm going to put it down to the fact that I'm an idiot and the Chiefs haven't been lighting up on offense all year, but at the minute I still can't see past the Mahomes with the little green CAR representing Carolina next to him on my fantasy app, and I'm like, what? Of course he's going to score a million points.
I mean, that's It's what should happen. It's what should happen, put it that way. I'm going for Jared Goff, projected 15.7. Like you, Sharples, there was a lot of high projections. I was really debating Justin Herbert, but the 18 projection was just a smidge too steep for me. And I think when you're looking at the guys with sort of the lower, more sort of doable projections in terms of our little game, Jared Goff's the cream of the crop there, really. And I don't think there's many guys you could go for at a 15.7 projection who have such a clear path to blowing up, you know, for 25 plus points or something like that. And we've just seen a game where Jared Goff absolutely blew up, where the offense put the foot on the gas, didn't take it off. They were heavy favorites last week when that happened. They're favored again by over a touchdown in this one. 50.5 over under against the Colts. You'd expect the Lions to dominate this matchup again. Goff splits home and away, even in a dome and without, have been a bit sketchy, but I think last year they righted that ship, really. He has been solid for fantasy throughout the season. He's the quarterback 10, averaging 17 fantasy points a game. He's thrown multiple touchdowns in 7 of 10 games played. Until 2 weeks ago, he was keeping the ball safe. But not quite so much against Houston. But no, he and the offense got back on track in a big way. The 9-1, they're absolutely rolling. And as I alluded to earlier in the episode, it became clear to me what they're doing, what they started doing last week. The Goff and the Lions are after that MVP, so they're going to keep him out there. They're going to let him cook, all, you know, put up as many numbers as he can, and yeah. That's Jared Goff, your MVP right there. That's what they're aiming for. Need I say more? Jared Goff MVP. What's the phrase? When like a president is the campaign. The campaign continues in Indianapolis for Jared Goff MVP. No, I'm not saying he should be. I'm just saying the campaign of the Lions to make Jared Goff the MVP continues when they're up by 30 and he's still out there throwing touchdowns. And that'll do that segment, not the podcast though, because obviously we've got Alex Sharps' game tiers to run into.
Yeah, I struggled for some great ones, I have to say. I put one in there, but it was helped by the storyline of two brothers facing off with each other as head coaches. So the solitary...
I thought you were talking about me and Alex then. I was like, are we playing each other in the main league?
No, it's not the Brindle showdown. It's the Harbour showdown. It's the Chargers-Ravens.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Moving into the good. I've gone for Seahawks-Cardinals. Packers 49ers, I really wanted to put that in the great, but they've just been that notch below where they should have been this year. Mm-hmm. And I've also gone Rams-Eagles.
Yeah.
Into the meh, quite chunky. It was a shame doing it. I think there's a few good teams just playing stinkers this week. I've got Browns, Steelers, Texans, Titans, Bears, Vikings, Dolphins, Patriots, Giants, Buccaneers, and although I want to see them get shellacked and concede 70 points, Commanders, Cowboys, don't think it'll quite be 70-0, maybe 68.
Where is it being played?
Where is it being played? It is being played at the Dallas Cowboys Arena, I believe.
So every chance for it to be 70.
Two in the bag. Panthers, Chiefs, just because I don't care. I'm sorry, I don't care.
I think it could be good for fantasy, though. I think it could be good for fantasy.
Fair.
Hear me out.
Well, if you've got Chiefs on, if you've got Chiefs players, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I've got Raiders Broncos. Not nothing against the Broncos. They've been surprisingly good the past few weeks, but Raiders aside from Brock Bowers, are just a barren wasteland, so...
At the moment, I do think the Texans-Titans game is the sting fest of the week with how those teams are playing at the minute.
Yeah.
Could well be. Could well be.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I mentioned this anyways. The Bills, Jets, Bengals, Falcons, Saints, Jags on bye. I should have mentioned that earlier on, but anyway. Yeah, and that'll do as my closing thoughts this week are that you were definitely lying about that trade that you were going to offer me Sharples. You're definitely lying to get me rattled on the podcast. That's my closing thought. Courtesy retort.
my closing thought is you should always start a bidding war.
Yeah, no matter the context.
I guess. Yeah.
No matter the context. I mean, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure. You know, you could be there about to make a deal to, I don't know.
I thought you loved Rashad White, though. You're the Rashad White guy.
I do love Rashad White, but I'm just a little bit worried that with Mike Evans coming back, because Rashad White, although he's listed as a running back this year, really he's made his pennies in the receiving game.
Yeah.
And so with the Buccaneers' upcoming schedule of teams that I think they're probably going to shellack, I am worried that Bucky Irving might actually be the one who benefits from it. I think White will still be relevant, but it's taken a little shine off it. But then equally with Dobbins, as we discussed on the chat, I think they're going to be running a lot. They're going to be passing more than running.
I know. So I think.
Yeah. So Dobbins, we'll see.
They've got a rough schedule for running backs, and I just think my thing with White is that I don't think they've got no notable guys at the front of the ball. So apart from Orton, you know, at the wide receiver position, they've got no. So Evans coming back to me. You aren't taking away targets because those targets are just still going to wide receivers, but just a better wide receiver now. It's not like he has to throw. It's not like Godwin's coming back as well. So in my mind, it just means the Bucs are going to be better. There's going to be more scoring opportunities. I don't see an incredible amount of workload being taken off Rashad White just because Mike Evans is coming back. I just think they're going to be a better team.
Yeah.
Really.
My closing thought is that Sharples must have the same word of the day calendar as me, because mine also says shellac today. I'm enjoying that word today as well. So, yeah.
This is a lot of closing thoughts. I would like to ask another closing thought of you, Al. Not real. God, why have I forgotten that word? Imagine make-believe individuals, one very handsome, one less handsome. The very handsome one was offered a selection, a smorgasbord of wide receivers, if you will. Jalen Waddle, Brian Thomas Jr., Tillman. I don't know his first name. I'm going to call him Jim.
Cedric Tillman.
From the Browns for a nice piece, but he's only just picked him up off waivers, so he's not too attached to him. Rome Odunze of the Bears. Would any of those tickle your fancy?
What were the names again?
It was Jalen Waddle, Jim Tillman, and Brian Thomas Jr.
I think Brian Thomas Jr. would have my ears perking up a little bit, but then I have to go back to the stats and see how many weeks it's been since he was good. But
yeah, 13.9 points this week.
A little bit. To be honest, I would be questioning why this other individual was so keen on Rome Odunze all of a sudden when he was on another very handsome man's bench all season until he got dropped this past week and picked up by someone.
Hypothetical, we'll never know.
Right.
We'll never know. Anyway, that'll do us. Thanks for listening.
Nice one.
Bye-bye.
See ya.